It's a history described in both photographs and touching stories. Monday's morning show begins just after 8.
This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that focuses on the concerns in the Tri-County area. It's hosted by Jane Herring, Marcia Connett, Joan Rory, and Ron Purty. Community Matters also shares its time slot with the 32-time award-winning WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's host.
And welcome to Community Matters. I'm Jane Herring. And today we're going to be talking about some public art, and it's a new project that I'm really excited to hear more about. Our guests today are Amy Grile, who is the Executive Director of the Kenosha Community Foundation, and Francisco Loyola. Francisco Loyola, who is the Executive Director of Kenosha's Creative Space. So welcome to the program today.
Thanks, Jane.
So, mural project, it sounds pretty exciting. I know we've been hearing there have been murals in Kenosha. There's a mural here, a mural there. But this is something that's going to be a unified project over time that is going to help tell the story of Kenosha, right?
Indeed. We like to think so. Francisco?
I agree. I believe that there are murals already in Kenosha. There is one other where volunteers runs an Instagram page. It's called Walls of Kenosha, where she has been tracking all the murals that have been painted in the last few years. And murals come and go. There are some that don't exist anymore. But I think that there is an interest in the city of Kenosha to have murals as part of the community public art. And in the last few years, the interest has been increasing. So I think that now is the time to make an approach this in a more formal process. And that's why we decided to launch the mural project.
So, and I know, Amy, you're always on the pulse of what the community is thinking because that's part of your job, of course. But why do you and Francisco feel as though the time is right now? What specifically are you hearing from people?
Sure. Well, certainly in my view, murals became quite a topic out of Lake Geneva. And of course, we don't want to be compared, but we certainly are peer communities nearby, and we saw the success that they had with their very sizable mural project that was undertaken from their executive director of the downtown program. So I think that was a green light sort of thing, that this is really a strong offering, and I think the time was ripe, but also that Mayor Bogdala had come to his position at the city of Kenosha and reached out to Francisco based on, I think, the success of Lake Geneva and said, we need something akin to that here.
You know, it's interesting. There's so many different types of art, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I know, you know, there are concert series, and there's so much. But what is it about murals that are so cool? What's the attraction?
Okay, I believe this. And having traveling, I think one of the perks of working in the environment I work is I travel and I connect with different art organizations, artists, and I believe that one of the signs for the vibrant arts community is murals. You just go into a city and you see murals and you feel attracted and you know that there is a good support from the arts in the community. And murals are not easy to accomplish. They are expensive. They need special skills. And I believe that it's a reflection that the support of the arts in the community when you have a really murals community. And there are cities in the country that they do mural tours, and they are just getting a really constant exchange of the murals that creates a really attraction for people coming to visit, people having more ownership of the city, city pride, etc. So I believe that they are important. Just as a sample of how the arts are supported on the city. But in other communities, murals have played even a major role. You travel out of the country, you go to Colombia. For example, Colombia has a really bad reputation, and I think it was well-deserved in the 1990s, but now I think everything has been changed. But Colombia, the government of Colombia has embraced arts, music, food, tourism as a way to change the image. Some of the areas that were considered the most dangerous places in Colombia at that time now are becoming the largest touristic attractions based on the mural creation, the participation of the community in the creation of the murals, the embracement of the culture, the food, the music, and basically what they did, they transformed totally from going from the most dangerous places in the country to being the most popular and more touristic attractions right now. So I think that's the impact that they are can create in a community.
And I do want to talk more about the community pride and how it having a piece of excellent art that draws attention from both residents and visitors can change the impressions people have of that area. I do want to come back to that. But tell me about this particular project. Is it one mural? Is it five murals? How many?
Well, just for the sake of jumping in, we have just completed one of the largest murals located between Racine and between Milwaukee and Chicago.
Really?
So certainly we have hit this sort of like inflection point. But to Francisco's credit, there's murals that he's worked on over the last 10 years. There's a beautiful mural that was installed on the Kenosha Creative Space in 2020.
It is gorgeous.
We hate to think of this as like an isolated event, because even the one that's just been completed, the very large mural on the Kenosha National Bank, has been sort of in conversation and partnerships kind of coming together over many years. So it's kind of a both and. Yes, it's new, but it's part of, we like to think, sort of a growing acknowledgement and trend of the importance of murals.
I think that's true. This is not a project that started just from nothing. It has been evolving and gradual steps over, I would say, 10 years. When we initially started launching, we launched a program with the smaller murals, kind of postcard murals, greetings from Kenosha, the streetcar mural that's going to be relocated, the gremlin car, some of the murals that are located, and all the murals that are at CABA and the Kenosha Area Business Alliance. So those are we're kind of planting the seeds to show how is the impact of the murals. Even those small murals have been really showcasing the community. They have been in the covers of different magazines. They have been in the cover even the Chicago Tribune and the Milwaukee newspapers, Milwaukee business journals. But I think that they're creating kind of an acceptance of the murals, because it was not at that time a really good acceptance of murals. People believed that just by painting murals you were going to attract graffiti. There is kind of a separate conversation, but I believe that they were really, really effective. Then during 2020, for unfortunate circumstances, they were created in the city of Kenosha, community murals. We lost a track of how many were created during the uprising in 2020, but I believe there were about over 1,500 murals that were painted by communities, international artists, artists from all over the country that came to Kenosha and used their expression of art as a way to try to communicate with the community in a way, in a positive way, in the middle of a really difficult time. The Kino J mural that is on the wall of the Kenosha Creative Space was a gift from one of the local muralists to the city of Kenosha as a way to reflect the importance of those murals that were happening at the city, but have something more permanent. The mural is based on the original name of Kenosha, the Kino J, Kenosha. There are two versions, but both of them mean the place of the pike. The pike is a local fish. There are not too many anymore, but there is still the name sure. of the city of Kenosha. So when the Julie and Tom Cook purchased the National Bank, one of the first conversation that we have, and I will say will be about 5 years ago, is that they would like to have a mural in the wall, but they didn't want to work in the exterior of the building until they took care of the interior of the building. And they have made a substantial investment replacing all the mechanicals, elevators, sure. etc.
And priorities, right?
Exactly. Finally, about 2 years ago, they say, okay, we're ready. So they start fixing the large wall. They is on the alley between 7th Avenue and 6th Avenue on mm-hmm. 57th Street. And they say, we're ready. They actually apply for a grant from the Business Improvement District in Kenosha as more grant. And they say, we're ready. So I contacted a mural artist they know. We start working on the design. The design was finally approved. And when it was finally approved, I say, okay, how about instead of just painting one mural, we use this as an opportunity to launch a more ambitious project.
Okay.
So that's when...
That's how
when,
it happened.
That's when we... and we have the experience because, like Amy mentioned, I was invited to collaborate in the Lake Geneva murals project 2 years ago, and I think was really successful. And it was a good way to show two things. The mural project was feasible. It was going to be enough funding coming from the community, the investments, stakeholders in the community, but also the recognition that the artists need to be paid for their work. So I think that were the three elements that I requested if I'm going to help. The first thing is the artists need to be paid. So and they need to be paid probably not outrageous rate, but they need to be compensated. So and after that happened, I think the vision was a little bit more clear. So when this mural came into fruition and we started the planning to implement it, that's when I met a Mayor Bagdala, and he said yes, let's do it, let's start this project. He gave us a seed money. And he already promised to give us more, an additional amount next year. And the mural project took shape.
Maybe we can stop there and talk a little bit about funding, because I know that the Community Foundation certainly is a huge fiscal partner in this, mm-hmm. and maybe you can explain. I think people say, oh, yeah, you put a bunch of paint up there, you find a gun artist, good to go. And you know, this isn't a cheap thing.
Sure. There is a lot of moving parts. And I think as we started learning through Francisco how they actually operationalize this in Lake Geneva, we understand there's a contract, a three-way contract between the building owner, the artist, and the foundation as the fiscal, essentially the entity that is legally equipped to conduct business. This is a community-wide project that, you know, is volunteer-led, so the foundation is sort of the body that can give this, you know, status, so to speak, by creating an umbrella for it under our 501c3. So in any case, we are using the contracts now, and it's a little different because, well, we felt confident kind of going into this because we have somewhat of a track record working in the arts through a similar project called the Sculpture Walk.
Yes.
So we've been conducting the Sculpture Walk now in partnership with the Arts Fund, and many of the same volunteers that have stepped forward with the mural project also are acquainted with the Sculpture Walk. So we felt like, all right, this is sort of like 2.0 now, because it's not just a lease for a sculpture. We're talking permanency to some extent, at least 10 years, where we would have a three-way contract now with the property owner and, you know, like I say, the foundation and the artist. So we're moving through what that looks like, and drawing upon support from the community, some people that have, you know, been with us in the arts community for a long time with the sculpture walk, stepping forward as contributors. But certainly this project, I think, has brought, I think, a lot of new energy.
Yeah, we're expecting some contribution right now from the Business Improvement District from downtown. We're in talks to receive some contribution from them. There are already some interest that we're going to start being more concrete steps next week. We're launching actually the final push for the fundraising.
Oh,
the reason
sense,
why
yeah.
we were waiting for is we wanted to have at least two murals finished, so that instead of coming with an abstract
an idea
that this is what is going to happen, we wanted to show exactly what we were talking about and the impact in such short time the murals are having already. I think that will help us to conclude the fundraising more successfully. Getting back to answer a little bit your question about how the importance of the murals for the communities are coming, I believe that not only us, but there is organizations that are paying attention to this. One of the partners on members of the committee from the group is Tecla Kilpatrick. She is a young professional that was working at the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, and she was, as part of her work with the foundation and Development Corporation, she developed a know-how kit for cities that will be interested in put together a mural project. So basically we're using a lot of the steps that were put together in that plan to implement this, because the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation is noticing that there is an increase in the popularity of the murals. And it's not only as making look the city better, but there's a proven economic development tool for the cities. So they has been proven that by having the murals and traffic to the city, investment, etc., has been increased in cities that have embraced this kind of project. So.
And I think that that's something that is really important to discuss, and that is the importance of arts to creating a vibrant community that will attract new business and also help businesses expand. All you hear about are the hiring issues that businesses have. They mm-hmm. want more employees, but that means more people need to come to Kenosha to live, or at least close enough to commute. And what does that is a vibrant community. So it's not surprising that Wisconsin Economic Development would be supporting this in some way.
Mm-hmm. Right. We see more and more studies that indicate jobs basically follow people more and more, because people can't necessarily or won't pick up and move as easily for a job, and employers are certainly very well aware of workforce shortages and, you know, have to follow people, and people will opt more and more for places that they can identify with, that they feel some sense of belonging, they identify with the history and the present day sort of vision and
mm-hmm. vibrancy and
all the things. It's so exciting that we're really trying to introduce yep. this kind of orientation, if you will.
Now, some of our listeners are not living in downtown Kenosha, so perhaps you can describe this first mural that's been completed at the bank building.
Okay, the first mural, I think I'm going to put a disclaimer. The artist is actually my nephew.
So okay.
It was not the intention to put it as part of the mural program right away, but he has been coming to Kenosha, visiting every summer for the last 10 years. So he likes Kenosha, and he has painted some other murals here in the city. So I think we started working and we put together a proposal. But he is a mural artist from the city of Mexico City. He has been painting murals since she was 14.
Oh my gosh.
So she has almost 20 years of experience just painting murals. And he has techniques with spray painting. They are not that that well known, but it takes years of practice to reach that level. So the mural, we decided to go with a more realistic interpretation of that fish reflecting the name of the city of Kenosha. And I think it was a really successful implementation.
So it's not just here's a pike painted slap on the side of the building. I gather that there's a little bit more artistic swirl to it.
It's phenomenal, Jane.
Yeah, you need to actually see it in person because it's a really large mural, mm-hmm. too. And also, he works really fast. A mural of this size, it would have taken a long time to put together, so he is a fantastic muralist. I know because I know him, but I truly believe it. And he's actually kind of donating his work to help us to launch mm-hmm. this project.
That's
because
great.
he thinks that he fell in love in Kenosha. I think that we have had this conversation before, that you come to Kenosha and then you fell in love with Kenosha and you start trying to do things for that. So, I believe that he's coming on August. We're planning with the city of Kenosha as a celebration of the murals on August 23rd on Saturday. So, but one of the, I will say, elements that made me believe that this was really successful implementation is that one of the supporters and sponsors was Rustoleum. And I believe that things just happen for a reason, when things just come mm-hmm. together. Because we met with some of the employees at Rustoleum during 2020, and we have stayed in contact with them. This year, Rustoleum actually launched a line of spray paint just for mural artists. So the line was launched on March of this year. So when we presented the mural idea to them, they are working for the launching this year. They are sponsoring 10 murals across the country.
Oh, wow.
But this one is the largest that they have sponsored. So they actually have to change the guidelines in order to sponsor the mural. And they are using the process. The chemists from Rustoleum were here during the process, just testing the paint and how the paint was reacting with the rest of the components, because it's not... We're mixing two different kinds of chemicals in the paints, so things can happen. they wanted to make sure that they were also were learning through the process. So the Rustoleum is really excited about this collaboration. They are putting together a really nice marketing program for them, but I believe they also consider this a really successful mural.
So they could be considered a donor.
Yeah. Hugely
it's
involved.
A huge contribution, because it's a large mural. It needs a large amount of paint.
A lot of paint.
Yeah, and then they actually were generous enough, because we were trying to adjust to their guidelines, but they saw the importance of the mural, not only for us, for their product line launch, and then decided to donate all the materials for the mural. So.
That's incredible.
And yeah, just to the what to expect if you do go down there to see the mural, it's phenomenal in sort of the dimension, and I think it might have something to do with the spray paint, because it wasn't applied in a way that I guess I would have expected it to be done. And just the colors, the, I guess, dimension of, like, the water, the fish appear to be sort of, like, swimming off of the wall. There's four of them, and obviously this is a massive...
It looks like 3D.
So I think the spray paint aspect, yes, the 3D aspect and some of the colors, I think, could only be achieved, not only because...
The talent.
Rustoleum, we'd like to say thank you to Mike Ortiz. He is the chemist that's in charge of the new line of products from Rustoleum, but he has been really involved into the project. So they actually brought some spray paint, the is a spray paint that changes colors depending on the side that you see it, just to complement the fish, the final effect of the fish.
Very
These products
cool.
are not even available to the public yet. They are testing it right now.
Well, I bet the artist was thrilled to be able to experiment with that.
I think that the artist and the
chemist.
The chemist, they were
best friends now.
They became really good friends. I think but the way I see it is this: it was meant to happen because all those collaborations, the talk with the owners of the building, reached to the point that we say, okay, let's do this. So what we are now doing is just implementing the rest of the project. So our goal, if we get all the funding, will be to paint 8 additional murals. 2 are already on the works right now.
You said 2 of the 8 are already in the works.
With the first one, the one in counting, it will be 1 more. That will be 3. That will be already 1 finished. One on the works is going to be probably finished next week, and another one is going to be started when we're working the final details next week too. When everything comes through, get the funding, we think that we will be in the end of July, and the first 3 weeks of August, you are going to see a lot of activity in the downtown area. So.
Right, because we're really aiming for that August 23rd date to really be able to showcase all the different murals and have completion on many of them.
So all 9 would be done by August 23rd?
We're expecting, again, we're having really straightforward with the artists, with everybody involved. Everybody's going to be, especially we want to make sure that the foundation, we're not going to create something financial.
Just trying to get out in front of us a bit. It's all right.
So basically what we're doing is completing the murals once the funding is in place, so that we can commit, so that we can actually implement the project.
But I will say this is really important, because while certainly Lake Geneva or all of the places internationally that have found a lot of success with murals, this particular project, to Francisco's point, truly reflects such a unique kind of blend of partners and partnerships and I think relationships that are unique to Kenosha. This makes it very Kenosha. I mean, Rust-Oleum having come to the table, they're based in Kenosha, their relationships run deep with Francisco and his team. You know, Mayor Bogdala representing the city. I mean,
the owners of Leaf Pro. They are helping us with the leaves so that we can get them. So we're receiving a lot of support, and I think that the community is paying attention, because I kind of enjoy when they are just walking by and suddenly turn around and there are 25 people just watching the process of
cool.
it. So I think that has been really, really gratifying. That.
Now I understand that you had your nephew had done the first project, but you're spreading the love among artists, right? You had a call for artists.
We kind of replicate the same process that we did in Lake Geneva. We have a call for arts. I contacted every local artist I know to participate into the call of art, and we received 35 applications.
All local or from?
I wish they were more local. We received 8 local applicants. 3 of them, the murals were selected are local. Sometimes local gets confusing, because one of them is local because she lives, has her business here in Kenosha, but she moved from New York about 3 years ago. So people still don't consider it local.
I know. I've been here, 40 some years, and I always say semi-native.
Exactly. That's what I say. I don't know how long it takes to actually become local in Kenosha. But yes, we have a really good participation. And some of the artists are extremely talented. I think we're posting all the submissions in the website this weekend, so we're a little bit behind putting everything together, but everything will be there over the weekend. But we're really impressed with the quality of the the mural submissions that we receive.
You know, and one of the things that I think is we have so many fabulous visual artists in our community, but I don't think people understand the whole dimension piece of it. I know just working with a fabulous graphic artist years ago, and we had to go from a design that would fit on an 8.5 by 11, but then had to get transferred to the side of a bus. I mean, it's a whole different ball game.
Actually, just to your point, one of the submissions that was approved, and I really like that proposal, it was for a group of artists that have a community center in Algoma, Algoma, Wisconsin.
Sure.
The group is called Yonder,
Y-O-N-D-E-R.
Yeah, but what they do is they do community murals, and she's a professor of art, I believe it's in Madison, and she teaches the differences between what you mentioned, just traditional
design,
art to moving into murals. So the proposal is that we are creating a mural commission for one of the local building owners, and it will be a 3-day workshop for we're inviting all the local artists to participate in the mural, where they will be given from the basics, the difference between dimension, perspective, materials, process, etc. So, and they were inviting the artists to participate in the actual painting of this mural. It's going to be using more traditional materials. It's going to be more like painted, but it's going to be another of the large murals that is going to be in place in Kenosha. But
that
I believe
is so valuable.
But I believe it's exactly.
That's
but I believe that this is something just to your point, because there is a lot of interest from local artists. And I think that it can be done, but you know the differences, and you are prepared. You are not going to be taken by surprise when you get in front of the wall and you say, "And now, what do I do now?"
Yeah. Well, let's see. Can I just paste this up here? Would that be good? 8.5 by 11?
Right.
No.
I mean, and this upcoming project that we probably shouldn't say too much about, but if it is with Yonder, this is going to be another very large mural. And the partnerships and things that are coming together for that, just wait and see, because it is really, really going to blow your socks off.
We're really, really excited about the collaboration and the partnerships that have been created through this project. And I really, really, I will be remiss if I don't say thank you to the city of Kenosha, because one of the members in the committee is Chris Cockman.
Chris is wonderful.
From the mayor's office, I think that has been a great contribution, and the mayor is totally supportive of the project. So far, what I can tell you is I love Kenosha. That is beautiful. I don't want to use that this project is used to the revitalization of Kenosha, because I think that we are already there. But there are some parts of Kenosha that I think needs a little bit of work. For me, the alleys have always been magical, because I go to other places, and the way that they take an advantage of the alleys is amazing. And right here, the alleys are not really appreciated.
Away.
So right now, if you just look at the mural that was just finished painted in the alley, it transforms totally the environment of the alley. The other mural is going to be painted on the other side, so this is going to actually transform one of the areas that was too appealing in the middle of downtown. So.
No, I mean, it's phenomenal. Francisco and I were sitting outside at a restaurant and bar on 6th Avenue, and my eye just kind of wandered over to the corner. And because the Pike mural is so large, I mean, part of the wall was visible from just sitting on the sidewalk on 6th Avenue, you know, and it just, like, it hits you, and it's just powerful. I mean, it's brilliant. You have to see the mural to believe it, because the colors and things. But, you know, it's just, it's transformative when you see what's possible in some of these areas that you never would have thought, oh, that can be activated.
And all the way through, you've been mentioning making sure we have the funding together, making sure we have the funding together. And I know you are, Amy, the keeper of the funding once it's together. But Who are, yeah, the building owner is one of the partners. Are they also a funding partner, or are they, you can use the site of my building partner, or both?
Well, I think it's a case by case. Yeah.
And we're still working on the matchmaking, and we are hoping to have everything finalized by early next week.
Oh, so gosh,
because we
soon.
Want to complete this as part of the process, so that sure. we can tell, okay, this mural is going to be in this location by this artist, and we need the funding. You will be the sponsor for this particular mural.
Got it.
But it's a combination of both. So we're getting a hybrid funding, let's put it that way.
Yes, and I've come to appreciate the project is perhaps a little bit more fluid than I was expecting, because, you know, things are coming in to be paid, and I'm like, okay, yeah, who's the funder in this case? But, you know, it is the first year of putting this together. And because the Kenosha Community Foundation is so invested in, you know, local arts and culture, our history, we're ourselves celebrating 100 years, and we wanted to be involved in a mural ourselves, you know, to really mark that tremendous achievement. So we're kind of going with this and learning the process along with it. And it's not as simple as, well, this mural is going to cost $10,000, and, you know, we've got three people lined up to each pay $3,333. Unfortunately, it's going to be more like, well, this one has $5,000 from the business owner, and this one has, you know, in-kind contribution from here, and then we have, you know, a grant, you know, coming in from this side. It's just, we're like pooling the monies and finding out how best to, like you say, matchmake.
Exactly. It hasn't been easy, okay? It has been a little bit, Amy's making it sound kind of really a more organized process.
Because she'd really like it to be.
Exactly. But it has been adjusting all the time, and adjusting to each particular. I'm trying to try each individual mural as a separate entity, so that we have a separate funding, separate in-kind donations, working with the artists, etc. So, but I believe this is going to work at the end. So.
Good thing to believe in. Now, you mentioned a website, and I know you're in the process of updating it, mm-hmm. but let's say in a week or two they could go to your website. What is the website?
It's kenoshamurals.org.
Okay.
We try to keep it simple.
That works.
Yep.
And on that page, there'll be more information about how to get involved as a sponsor, what are the sort of levels, and really just articulate ways that people can kind of slot in. But, you know, I think at the outset, people were of the mind that you could kind of sign up for a mural and the funding would be there. And it's much more like depending on how much you want to get involved, there may be some expectation that, you know, financially you are a funder as well. So, you know, it's we're learning as we go.
Yeah, but I believe that, like Amy said, this has been taking a long time to get to where we are. Yeah. But I believe that this year is the year that is going to be putting all the process in place for to make it really smooth next year. So, and because and one of the goals with the city and myself to partner with the Kenosha Community Foundation is we want to make this a project that's going to last for a long time. So we want to make sure that we put in place the steps needed in order to make it last. So I think that I'm really satisfied with that
yeah, finish. And certainly we're very pleased to be able to lend some of our expertise and credibility, so to speak, so that we can, you know, get this off the ground. And yeah, it's we're just pleased that we can come along and add value as well.
Yeah.
Well, and Francisco, you mentioned that you're kind of trying to replicate to some degree your involvement in Lake Geneva, and it sounds like the Community Foundation is sort of replicating what they have done with the sculpture walk.
Yeah, one of the
members. You have some experience with it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's similar, and also this is unique to Kenosha, a unique experience for all of us, and we're ready.
Yeah, one of the things I want to mention in that regard is that one of the members of the committee is Jenny Tunkix. Jenny is also part of the Arts Fund, And I think that we have worked in the Art and Sculpture Fund for a long time. So what we're trying to do is use everything, the experience that we have in these two projects to try to put together into this. They consider a little bit more ambitious project because it's more expensive than the other ones.
Multiple pieces.
And it's exactly so.
And multiple partners with having sides of buildings belonging to somebody
there's
else.
There's something about the permanence of it that is so exciting. There's nothing like looking upon, even an old mural, there's something very compelling about murals for whatever reason, just because they really are more of a permanent structure.
Yeah, what we learn is that you use actually the right quality materials, murals are going to last. For example, the Gremlin mural that was painted 11 years ago is in Friendship Park. It still looks good. I think that probably we just need to varnish it a little bit and it will look a little bit shinier. But the mural, if you use the right materials, this is going to last for a long time. And that's what we're trying to do.
And it's so great you had the partnership with Rust-Oleum that came together certainly at the right time. Mm-hmm. We have just a few minutes, and we talked about the sculpture walk, and I think it's been over the past year that you've had the update again, isn't it? Every two years,
mm-hmm.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. And I know I've been enjoying. I walk my dog past there almost 3 or 4 times a week, and mm-hmm. You always see something a little different every time. Mm-hmm. So, how many sculptures are involved with that? Because there's some permanent ones, and then there's that switch out.
Right? Yeah, 14, and I think there are
two permanents.
Two permanents, and I think. There's always like a little bit of nuance, some coming out or going in because the artist may have installed it elsewhere and then brings it over because they're leased. So that may be why you sometimes see changes and things. Mm-hmm. So it's somewhat fluid, but certainly not to the extent that we're seeing right now with the mural.
Now, do the artists, similar to the murals where I had to submit a design, do they say, this is what I have, or is it an already completed sculpture, or is it something they designed specifically for Kenosha's Harbor, or both?
I think
most of them are already pieces that have been completed by the artist, but a few of them have been just designed for the project. So, I believe the majority are already in the possession of the artist.
Mm-hmm. It's very cool.
Now they have a big closet where they put all their sculptures in.
Big closet.
Very big closet. Okay. I know this is a case, too, though, where there are donors to the Community Foundation's Arts Fund. Is that how the money trail works with supporting
to some extent, yes. So the sculpture walk, like the mural project, we're kind of treating them as though they're sort of a special project using our 501c3 as like a fiscally sponsored project. The Arts Fund, by contrast, is an endowed fund that basically creates grants to the community in perpetuity. So the Arts Fund can perhaps support and it will be supporting the mural project, and it has supported the sculpture walk over time. But really, the Arts Fund is the vehicle to kick out the grants, whereas these projects, such as sculpture walk and mural project, are really standalone to some extent, where the volunteers are actually enacting.
And to complete the particular project.
Yeah, the community sort of development initiative, if you will.
That helps us understand, like I say, the money trail to some degree. Well, I really have to say thank you to you both. This sounds very exciting. I think we're going to have a lot of people, not that downtown is exactly suffering for traffic on Market Day like it is today when this is airing, but I think a lot of people are going to be taking a little bit different route. So today on Community Matters, we've been talking with Francisco Loyola, who is with Kenosha Creative Space, and Amy Grile of the Kenosha Community Foundation about the Kenosha Mural Project, and you'll be able to learn more about that at kenoshamurals.org. But wait a week or two, and then you'll have the most updated information on that. Mm-hmm. And thank you for joining us today on Community Matters. I'm Jane Herring.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
I'm Gregory Berg, and I hope that you can listen to Monday's morning show here on WGTD. This month marks the 10th anniversary of the landmark U.S. Supreme Court decision that made marital equality the law of the land. In honor of that, I speak with Frankie Frankeny, co-author of a book called Love, The Heroic Stories of Marriage Equality. It's a history described in both photographs and touching stories. Monday's morning show begins just after 8.
WGTD, HD, Kenosha, Racine.